un caso este, estaba nadie no lo hacía por haber caído aquí, nada, Thank you all for coming on this beautiful evening where other people are out on the land and doing what they like to do. But we are here in name, certainly to work, and as Norwich Executive Council, we are here in name for the next couple of days to have discussions on issues that relate to Labrador Inuit concerns and whatever it is that Labrador Inuit would like us to see us moving forward. Most certainly, it is an honor and a privilege to be an elected person where our ancestors certainly wanted to see Labrador Inuit moving forward on issues that they felt were very valuable or special to Labrador Inuit, and most certainly to work hard at issues that we still need to keep working hard on. So we are doing that, and we have recently held a general election for ordinary members for Nunatsiavut communities, Upper Lake Melville, and the Canadian constituency. So we have new members of the Executive Council and a couple more still here to train the newer elected members. And we also have the deputy ministers and staff who have been there longer than most of us and who will keep guiding us on issues that they have been following for many years. And it's good to see Sarah Liu here, who was the president, and certainly appreciate Labrador Inuit coming to hear whatever it is that we as Executive Council have to report to you. And we will each update on whatever it is that we are working on. And I'd like to highlight some of the activities I and my department, the Nunatsiavut Secretariat, have been involved in over the past few months. I presented to the Senate Standing Committee on the Arctic on April 23rd. At that session, I discussed the need for Canada's new Arctic policy that is currently being drafted to include and consider the importance of language and culture to the people who live in the Arctic, the need for improved transportation networks to Nunatsiavut, including a new airstrip for Nain, and improved passenger and freight shipping services, and for the need to help address the food insecurity of Nunatsiavut, amongst other things. I have been invited to present to them again. I will be attending the Inuit Circumpolar General Assembly in Alaska in July, and I will also be attending the Inuit Dapareed Kanatami General Meeting in August. I continue to work with Inuit Dapareed Kanatami and the other Inuit regions on the Inuit Crown Partnership Committee. We met with the Prime Minister and other federal ministers on March 28, and we agreed on the priority areas of land claims implementation, housing, reconciliation, language and culture, health and well-being, and education. We have recently added environment and climate change.
Malia Chataya Helding, Man Nautilogo, Akhirtawe on Atlo, Sulagia Mio, Ukwa Pichu Tiglo, Ikanoniga, In the past month, we have had a number of calls with the Premier and other ministers and their staff on the request for proposals for the ferry service. I will leave the details of that for Minister Mitchell to discuss. We have completed and approved the United States Energy Security Plan in 2016 and are currently in discussions with federal and provincial partners to secure the necessary support to implement the plan.
The energy situation throughout North Seattle is precarious. Residents and businesses face very high and rising energy costs, placing a large economic burden on families and individuals. Some communities have the potential to reduce gaps between demand and supply, and generation capacity for electricity is diesel reliant. We see potential to integrate off-grid energy innovations that are rapidly occurring across Canada. There is much potential for Nunatsiavut to learn from these other jurisdictions and projects and collaborate on new sustainable ideas, such as housing energy efficiency, renewable energy, more efficient diesel systems, energy education and management. Nunatsiavut government has submitted a proposal to NRCan in partnership with Newfoundland Labrador Hydro, a project for a NameSmart microgrid diesel integration project. If we receive the funding, we will start to do design and engineering for such a project.
Our channel will.
നൂറ് സേവകായ മാറ്റി ശിവരും ഉത്തുകാട്ടും എന്നാ കാര്യമു ഇക്കാട്ടിയിലോ ഇന്നി ഫുണാലാപ്പെട്ടോ ആയിട്ട് ശുലൈ ഉണ്ടായിട്ടുമെന്ന് നയനുമി ഇന്നി തമക്കുണ ഉത്സാഹത്തുടേ ഉണ്ടോ ഇല്ലിങ്ങ ഉണ്ടോ അത്തുകയാണ് We continue to purchase high-efficiency wood stores for Tongat Regional Housing Association, new build and to go into the Rutsiao home repairs. I'm already sure that we have to have a return തുണി ഹട്ടോ
Thank you, Johannes. First of all, I'd like to say it was good to be back home in Maine. I still consider Maine my second home. That's the only place I'll live longer in my life than Macovic. So anyway, it's always good to be back. And I guess one of the things that people are really interested in here and is about the RFP for the potential roll-on, roll-off vessel that the province released there last week. Well, on the 27th of March, we had a short little visit from some of the officials with the Transportation and Works, John Baker and Greg Cuff, and they informed us then that they would be releasing the RFP for the North Coast Ferry very shortly. So then we asked them at that meeting if we could see a copy, and they said they didn't know, but they would check it out. So we followed up then, and my Deputy Minister Toby and myself went down to St. John's, and we met with Transportation and Works and some more government officials. And they told us then that they still didn't know if we could see the RFP. But we had a lot of concerns about lack of infrastructure in our communities in order to be able to accommodate such a vessel. And one of the great concerns that we had was that when, you know, we assumed from what they were telling us that one vessel would service or provide service for passengers and vehicles and all the freight as well. So then after we met with them, then we had a number of calls with Premier Gall, and we asked again. We had two calls with them, and we asked them both times if we could see the RFP. And that last call we had with them, they agreed that we could see it on a Thursday and it would be released on Friday. So we didn't even bother, because to us, that's not consultations. What they were doing basically was they had the RFP already completed, and then they were just going to let us see what they were hoping to give us. So then after that, after the RFP came out, we found out that, and they kept telling us that our concerns we had about the lack of infrastructure and about, you know, the one vessel being able to take the place of the two that we already had on, was that something, they told us that our concerns would be addressed in the RFP. But when the RFP came out, what it did state was that whoever the proponent was, they would have to provide to the government, I guess, as part of the RFP, on how they would moor up to each of our ports. And that was it. There was nothing addressed. And like some of the other concerns we had was, you know, where they were just going to be operating on a weekly basis out of Goose Bay. And like, I mean, Lake Meaho freezes up early, so normally we get the freight boats in from Lewisport. And we were concerned about, you know, the freight costs then. If everything was going to have to be shipped into Cartwright in the fall, then somebody would be having to pay the extra freight. And we wanted assurance that, you know, it wouldn't be our people that would be paying. And they told us that would be addressed in the RFP. And there was nothing in there about that. So, like, I think some of the other concerns we have is there's no infrastructure in place. We're lucky, some, like, even, I can really only speak for Macovic, but even for the Astron, there's times that the Astron can't tie up to the ramp when it's in good condition, and it's got to be repaired now this year, depending on the tides. So I don't know, and like the congestion at the docks would be unbelievable if you've got you know, passengers, you got construction material, you got vehicles going back and forth. So that was a lot of our concerns. Anyway, and the other thing, I think, and today I had an interview with the Labradorian, and one of the things that I mentioned then was, when do we get our dangerous goods? Because normally if you have just like one passenger ferry or whatever, passenger freight ferry, then, you know, they do runs, I know, from Blanceblad to St. Barb. They have a dangerous goods crossing, so I don't know when we would get that. And the other thing was that they told us that, you know, it would be so convenient, and like we're really pleased that they would be proposing a roll-on, roll-off vessel. But the thing about it is that when the RFP came out, it said for 20 passenger vehicles. So you're servicing 5 communities, so you're not going to get many vehicles on. So, this is still ongoing. We haven't really heard anything back from the province since then. So for us, I think we're going to, you know, we just keep plugging away at it, and hopefully they'll come up with something. And the other thing about it was, I think the most important point is that, you know, under our land claims agreement, you know, they have a duty to consult with us when it comes to providing services or changing policies and things like that. So that's one thing that we really intend to keep their feet to the fire about. So that's, I guess, pretty well it, you know, for that. We'll keep working on it. And I guess one of the other priorities for our department, of course, is housing. And we're very pleased now that the prototype is completed, and we'll have some seniors and youth moving into that building shortly, I hope. I understand that the letters went out on Friday. In Hopedale, we've almost completed the 7-plex there. It's a beautiful building. We were lucky enough to go and have a look at it when we were in Hopedale for our assembly meeting. And that one is 7 units, and there's like 1 bedroom apartment. Anyway, 7 units, but that'll be used for children that are in care that parents could get back if they had, you know, safe places or safe, adequate places to live, or, you know, to prevent children from going into care. And there'll be wraparound services with that. And we're also planning on putting the same type of building in Maine this year. We hoped to build it last year, but we had issues with land. So this year now, we've acquired some land from the Maine Inuit Community Government, so the 7-plex will be starting here in Maine this year as well. And we'll be going ahead with our repair program again. I think we're looking at about $1 million for our repair program, and that's besides the money that we give to torn down housing. And this year, the federal government came up with $1.5 million that they gave us in recognition of, you know, our short season, and that we need to get things done because there's still no money flowing from the money that they allocated in the budget. So we gave Torngat Housing $500,000 so they could build 2 new homes in the Natsiha. We set aside $500,000 for land development because, you know, we might have money for housing, but we still need land that's developed to put the buildings on. And then with the other $500,000, we put that with some of our money to go into our home repair program. Okay, and everybody knows that federal government allocated some money for the Natsiha for housing in their last budget, and we just had word today that for this fiscal year, they'll be giving us $7.5 million. So we're really looking forward to making a difference in housing, and we're hoping to be able to put up some more multiplexes, because to us, land is so expensive to develop, and, you know, we don't have very much good land available. So, and not everybody really can afford to upkeep a home, so we're looking forward to putting up some more multiplexes. So I don't know if there's anything else. I won't take up too much of everybody else's time. If anybody got any questions in regard to anything, feel free to come and ask about it. Thank you.
I forgot to mention earlier that if anyone requires an interpreter, we have an interpreter available. But right now we're going to Culture, Recreation and Tourism. Jim Lyle is the ordinary member and Minister of Culture, Recreation and Tourism.
ministerial, yep, you cut it down in 90 minutes, Jim Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, everyone. I'll be very brief. I have a couple of different departments I want to talk about in tourism. We are currently posting for a job for an experienced development officer. As you know, that Jenna Anderson has left, and we were applying for that position, and the deadline is the 7th of June. So if anyone's interested, you can find some information on that NG website, and there are postings in all of the communities. A new nutshell tourism working group has been established. The purpose of this group is for all of our community to come together and to build tourism and to exchange ideas. The group will meet every 4 to 6 weeks via teleconference. New Nutshell Marine. The majority of tourists visit during the summer season, and we will be working closely with New Nutshell Marine. We are hoping to schedule a presentation with New Nutshell Marine staff to showcase things to see and do in our communities, and acting as a liaison between New Nutshell Marine and all of our communities to inform stakeholders of an estimate of tourists on the boat each week so our communities can prepare for them. A tour company will have a group of tourists on the Northern Range for a week in September. Experiences are planned for each community, and everyone involved will be paid. The tour company worked with New Nutshell Marine to determine dates, which dates would be best, where there wouldn't be a lot of local traffic traveling at that time. New Nutshell Visitor's Guide. We will be and are currently printing a New Nutshell Visitor's Guide. We are in the process of filing our town maps that we partnered with the Torgat Secretariat on, and asked for feedback from one contact with each Inuit community government. We've heard from our communities that they would like community brochures, and are also looking to develop those as well. Training. We are working with Grossmorne Institute for Sustainable Tourism to develop a hands-on short training course that will help our community develop tour experiences and packages. We are hoping to have this completed within the fiscal year. In culture, we have a posting for a language researcher. This position will be responsible for gathering research on Inuit revitalization, protection, and promotion within Inuit Nunavut and internationally. The deadline for applications is the 12th of June. We are also in the process of hiring a language program coordinator at SILPA, is currently on maternity leave. Inlishwak. Inlishwak is progressing well, and the fabrication has started to some parts of the exhibit. Most of the construction work has been completed except for the theater, and if all goes well, we're hoping to have a grand opening sometime in December of this year. Ilinyakadigindik. The radio hour, in partnership with OK Society, is doing very well. The shows air on OK Radio. Master's Apprentice Program. The Master Apprentice Program is a program where one fluent Inuktitut teacher is paired with one non-fluent speaker to strengthen Inuktitut language skills in the non-fluent speaker over a six-month period. The most recent program ended in March, and we will be beginning another one later this year. LITP. The LITP program has entered the summer sessions with the Inuit Bachelor of Education students in Goose Bay. There are two more sessions on LITP, and the program will end in August. Sukhiyayuk. Inuit Fine Art and Craft from Nutshevut, curated by Dr. Heather Igorarity, is the first ever nationally touring exhibition of Nutshevut Fine Art and Craft. This project is ongoing and is expected to clue up by the end of this year. The last exhibition was in Winnipeg on the 25th, where five Inuit artists traveled to attend. Labrador Creative Arts Festival. Arts Program Coordinator Chantel Anderson has a spot on the Board of Directors for the Labrador Creative Arts Festival. Our department is contributing financially to help Inuit children in New Nutshevut with their interest in music and in theater. Pattern Library. The Pattern Library is a collection of traditional patterns that are used by New Nutshevut Inuit. This library is created to make copies of patterns for each of the New Nutshevut communities. There are now five sets of patterns to send, and one original set to keep in the office as a hard copy. We are expecting another summer student for a number of weeks this coming summer, where we hope to inventory the patterns to see what patterns we are lacking, and possibly do some research on where to find those types of patterns. Sealing Day. We were able to sponsor the annual Sealing Day on Parliament Hill that was held in Ottawa in May 2018 that allowed us to showcase New Nutshevut talent in seal craft. Crafted. The Winnipeg Art Gallery hosts a craft trade show every year titled Crafted. Inuit artists from all over Inuit Nunavut are invited to the event to sell their work to the public. Four tables were reserved for Nunavut artists. Established artists were sent to sell their items. Christmas Craft Fair. Five crafters were sent to the Christmas Craft Fair in St. John's. This event is hosted by the Newfoundland Labrador Craft Council, and this is a great experience for artists who would like to learn more about selling their work in craft fairs, booths, etc. This is an event that is planned to be attended annually. In April of this year, Rowena House and Anna Murphy from the NL Craft Council visited all Nunatsiavut communities to host presentations regarding the Craft Council jury process, quality control, how to properly price products, and the importance of booth setup and display. Northern Lights. The department was a sponsor for the Artists for Northern Lights in Ottawa. A number of artists and performers were able to attend the event to gain knowledge about selling products as well as network with other crafters. In archaeology and heritage, the Nunatsiavut project has been ongoing for several years and involves collaboration between each of the Inuit regions of Canada and the federal government in working towards finding information on Inuit who travel south for medical treatment, particularly but not exclusively for TB, between the 1940s and the 1960s, and who never returned to their homelands. Research on this issue has been undertaken in each region, and a database containing relevant information has been created. An information sharing agreement to allow for appropriate and effective use of this information to help family members find out what happened was signed on behalf of DNG by me in November. Labrador Hayuk Revival Program. The Labrador Hayuk Revival Program began in October and is being run by Noah Anukasup, a highly qualified kayaking instructor who has just returned to Nain after completing a Bachelor of Arts degree in Thompson River University in BC. The program involved training local community members to kayak and certifying them in accordance with Paddle Canada standards. It also involved working with interested local people to begin building Labrador-style kayaks for the first time on this coast in nearly 50 years. The program has already seen enormous success. Close to 20 people participated in open water training and guided excursions in a limited amount of time that was available before freeze-up. And five students have already received Paddle Canada Level 1 certification through the program. And incredibly, one student has even received Paddle Canada Level 2 certification through the program. Labrador's first snowmobile. Labrador's first snowmobile, now in running condition, arrived back in Nain in late November of 2017. This unique piece of Labrador history can be used year-round to generate interest in the history of the region. It can be used for cultural activities and potentially as a significant attraction for tourism. Between late November and late December, the machine was set up for winter use with skis and tracks installed by staff and local people in Maine. Numerous transmission adjustments were made to allow for the use of low reverse and brakes, and numerous other mechanical adjustments were made. This allowed us to test drive the snowmobile for the first time, almost exactly 90 years from the day it was first driven in Nain in 1927, just before New Year's celebrations. Hopedale Archive Inventory. The Heritage Program Coordinator, Carl Crotty, began an inventory of the archival materials that are being held in the Hopedale Moravian Mission Museum in October. It is expected that this work will require multiple visits to the community to complete. Second visit took place in conjunction with the launch of Hopedale's Community Media Hub in November of 2017. Records housed at this location are extremely valuable for the region and beyond. Some of the records kept there do not exist anywhere else in the world. One or two more visits will be required to complete the inventory. Throughout the winter and spring, the archaeology heritage staff have been creating, receiving, and managing archaeological records for sites that were visited or found during the 2017 field season. These original documents are maintained, and the basic information contained within them is also included in the archaeological database that is managed by the office. Work on site record forms and updating the database is ongoing. Reports on field work that were done during the 2017 field season were completed during the winter as well. The Hebron Family Archaeology Project. The Hebron Family Archaeology Project, a program funded by the Tradition and Transition Research Partnership with Memorial University, is now in its third year, and research will once again take place in Hebron during the last week of July. Every year, Hebron families have been asked to submit an application to the Hebron Selection Committee to engage with heritage research in the region. So far, maps of Hebron family house locations and archaeological sites in the area have been recorded, as well as stories stories, songs, and memories that Hebrewni Milk wish to share with the project. Digital outreach and oral history. The Heritage Program Coordinator is working with Blue Core Media to develop a website to feature local people and stories about Nunatchiwit. The first interview to build content for the site has now been completed, and additional interviews are planned to take place during the upcoming Heritage Forum in Hopedale in late June. We have identified some additional stories to follow coinciding with ongoing projects, kayak revitalization, Model T restoration, etc., along with any story people of Nunatchiwit are willing to share. Planning for the 9th annual Nunatchiwit Heritage Forum is now in the final stages. The forum will take place in Hopedale during the week of the 25th of June under the theme Kala Hadikin Nik Unikhausin Nik Hopedale, sharing the stories of Hopedale.